Ah, Katie, Easter's a time of daffodils, of hot cross buns, spring lambs, chocolate eggs. And when we all remember how, there's an Easter lamb. He laid a chocolate egg. It was hidden in a tomb, and then it was stolen. But then there was something else. What happened then?
Your head.
Oh, well, so what is Easter about then?
I'm glad you asked. Easter is the story of how Jesus lives.
Jesus lives? I thought it was how he died.
Well, he did, but now he lives. And if you only remember one thing from this morning, and even that seems optimistic, remember that Jesus lives. We're going to see what really happened. The story is in all four Gospels.
Oh, four Gospels. Yeah, I know these. Matthew, John, Paul, Ringo, Frodo, Hermione.
Oh, no, Dave. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But we're going to follow Luke's account. We need to travel back in time 2,000 years. Now, children, if you are here at Christmas, you know what you have to do if we're travelling back in time. I need you up on your feet, and you've got to spin around and get yourselves back 2,000 years. So up on your feet. That's it. Turn around. Keep going. Keep going. It's a lot of years to cover. Keep going. Oh, I reckon that'll do. Sit down. Hope you're not too dizzy. So now we've gone back 2,000 years, we're in Jerusalem, a city on the edge of the Roman Empire, and lots of people aren't very happy about that. It's about 36 AD, just about tea time, which is also known as the Last Supper.
When 13 blokes booked the party room, it's normally pretty grim in there afterwards, especially when they order wine. Though apparently, this Jesus can make his own. Loads of it. And bread. Don't ask me how. My husband Isaac, he can barely make a pitta. Even when he's got all the ingredients. Anyway, in the end, it was a very quiet evening. It didn't sound much like a party, which is weird. I mean, it's Passover. I know, it's all about the wine these days, but it's meant to be a celebration, isn't it? My mum used to tell me the Passover story about how our people were slaves in Egypt, but God rescued us and brought us out of the desert, and he fed us with bread which would be laying down on the ground every morning. Imagine that. If you're stuck somewhere you don't want to be, forced to be indoors when there's a plague passing over, remember there's always hope. I had hope for Jesus, or I did. I thought he'd rescue us from the Romans, but he's got a funny way of going about it. While I was clearing some plates at the end, Jesus took bread and wine and said to eat and drink these in remembrance of him, as if he was going to die. Isn't he a miracle worker who can raise people from the dead? I don't know what his game is. Where's my helpers? We need to get this room cleared. Come on. Where are you? Let's get this table wiped. Let's do this floor. We've got a dozen tax collectors. coming in for some sort of business breakfast thing.
So Jesus was in that upper room. When he left it, he went into a garden, didn't he? So is that where he met the Easter Bunny?
No, Luke does not say that.
What else did he do in a garden? They did an Easter egg hunt.
No, Jesus was arrested by people from the temple and a mob with swords and clubs.
But why? Jesus went around healing people. He was generally kind and brilliant.
They were really angry that Jesus was claiming to be God. They wanted to have him executed, and they needed the Romans for that.
Well, that's awful.
So they took him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. He couldn't find anything wrong with Jesus and said he could be released.
Yay!
But Jesus' enemies whipped up the crowd. They demanded that he crucify Jesus and release a man called Barabbas instead.
Oh, wow. Well, lucky old Barabbas.
Indeed. Well, let's see what's going on at the prison.
I've really done it this time. I led a rebellion against the Romans. I may have killed one or two people. And any day now, they come into my cell to take me away to crucify me. Oh, I've tried everything. Bribing the guard, threatening the witnesses, blackmailing the judge. Nothing works. Not even a jailbreak. Here's a tip. If you're going to hide a big metal file in a loaf of bread, make sure it's a baguette. It's the right shape. My sister tried to hide one in some crusty buns. You can imagine how that went. And the guards ate the buns. Oi, they were my buns.
Shut up.
Don't I get a final meal? Last request?
No, you've been a very naughty boy and you're going down.
Oh, there's no release for me. Not a chance.
All right, Barabbas. Pilate's changed his mind. Jesus is going to die. You're going to live. You're free to go.
What? Jesus dies and I live? Wow, that's amazing. I would have thought a rotten fellow like me would go free.
Doesn't seem right to me, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, didn't I say when I was locked in here, there's always hope?
No, you said, please don't lock me up. Here's 50 denarii, treat yourself.
Yeah, well, I might have said that. Anyway, it's a lovely day, let's go.
So, despite being so guilty, Barabbas goes free instead of Jesus. Barabbas must have been one happy bunny.
Please stop talking about bunnies. We need to talk about what happened to Jesus next. He was being taken to a place called the Skull.
Skull? Yeah. What happened there?
Well, put it this way, it wasn't an ice cream parlour.
Can you imagine an ice cream shop called the Skull? Come and have ice cream out of this head. Ugh. No, that wouldn't work. No customers at all.
This is the place where Jesus was executed. Oh. He was nailed to a big wooden cross and left to die with two other criminals.
I cannot wait to hear how Jesus got out of this one.
That's just the thing, Dave. He didn't. Jesus died. And there was a centurion there to make sure it was all done properly.
That is not a very nice job to have. Well, let's see what the centurion has to say for himself then.
Well, that was the weirdest day of work I've ever had. Normally, there are two types, the mumblers and the screamers. The mumblers are giving up hope because, let's face it, There is no hope on the cross. But the screamers are in denial, shouting and yelling at everyone and everything. We had a screamer today, yelling at me and this Jesus bloke. I have no idea why Jesus was being crucified. Doesn't even seem the time. He was a mumbler. And you know what he said up there on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Well, I do know what I'm doing. My job. But it was a pretty weird thing to say. Anyway, this screamer criminal goes nuts and screams, "Aren't you supposed to be the true king from God? Save yourself and us while you're at it." Then this other criminal jumps in. Not literally jumps, obviously, because he's not a screamer, he's a dreamer. He says, "Don't you fear God? We're getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then, and I'll never forget this, he says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Dream on, dreamer. Jesus is on a cross. No hope. But then Jesus says to the dreamer, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What's that all about? Jesus can't help anyone from where he is. And then he dies. So that's the end of that. Weirdest day of work ever. Reminds me of my dad's stories from 30 years ago when he was in Bethlehem. Anyway, dinner time. I'm famished. But nothing since a stale, crusty bread bun this morning. Let's have a look.
Well, I think we need the next bit of the story. Did you say it was Luke was writing about this? Liz, can we have the next reading, please?
The first reading this morning is from Luke chapter 24, starting at the 50th verse. "Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus's body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So Jesus crucified, dead, buried. What a sad story. Happy Easter, everyone.
That's not the end, Dave. There is a serious twist you do not want to miss.
I knew it. There is a bunny after all.
No, there is no bunny in this story. This morning is a bunny-free zone.
But Katie, you're no bunny till some bunny loves you.
Oh, good grief. Anyway, back to our true story in Luke's Gospel. A man called Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body down off the cross and laid it in a tomb.
Well, that doesn't seem like an improvement. That's just more death.
You just wait. Let's see what happened on the third day.
So this is our next reading from Anne. Thank you.
Luke chapter 24, beginning at the first verse. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Later that same day.
Sorry, so tired. Running to Jerusalem because...
We just saw him. Jesus lives. It really was him, and...
Let's back up. We were on the road to Emmaus, talking about what happened, and we met this guy, and he asked us what we were chatting about, and we were like, "Where have you been?"
Turns out it was Jesus.
Don't spoil it.
Sorry.
That's the best bit. So we started telling this guy all about how Jesus did amazing things and how we hoped he'd rescue us from the Romans. But the temple priest killed him on Friday. Then Sunday morning, some of the women went to the tomb and you'll never guess what happened.
Jesus was gone.
Amazing. Anyway, where had he gone? We were sad and confused.
And this dude we met on the road explains how this whole thing had been planned by God. And how it's there all the way through the Bible from the beginning.
And he told us how it's not rescue from the Romans we need, but rescue from sin and death. And how we can be with God forever.
Heart on fire. Mind has been blown up. Mic drop.
Anyway, we stopped off for a bite to eat with this guy, and the moment he broke the bread, we realised it was actually Jesus.
There he was, actually alive.
All our hopes and dreams was there, eating bread with us. And then...
Boom. Gone. He just disappeared. Can you believe it?
Amazing. Can you believe him?
Sorry, it's just such a brilliant story. And it means Jesus lives. There is hope. He can rescue us after all. We're running back to Jerusalem to tell the others. Let's go.
So this means Jesus rose from the dead and is alive now?
Yes, amazing, isn't it?
That makes me completely forget about that nonsense about Easter bunnies.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. This is much more important to us right now. The story about Jesus is written in Luke's Gospel. It's a history of Jesus's life, and death and life again. You can read about it for yourself.
Oh, I might just do that. With some chocolate?
Good idea. Can I have some?
No. All right then. Let's go and find some. Some of these kids must have some. I'll borrow some now.
Oh dear, children, watch out.
Brilliant. I'd like to just take a few minutes with us to think about Easter hearts. Got my first picture up? Easter hearts. I've got my gizmo now, haven't I? I think. Excellent. How different people felt during the story, and then how we might feel as we explore it more. Whether it's a sad heart, a burning heart, or an overflowing heart. We start off with two people on the road. This is the road to Emmaus, that last bit of the story. These two people were having a sad chat. Their friend had been killed. He'd been innocent, but declared to be a criminal. And they'd hoped he was going to be special, sent from God. But it all looked like it had gone wrong. They are sad. They're looking down. There's no hope. And there is no hope without the gospel, the good news of Jesus. If this world, with all its sorrows and fears, is all there is, if we're here because of random events and there's no meaning, if death is the end, then where is hope? So how about you this morning? Do you have a sad heart? Not sure what the future holds, scared of death? Well, listen on, because Easter is good news of hope for you. Or maybe you're not completely without hope, but instead a bit confused about Jesus and the hope he offers. What difference does this man, 2,000 years ago, make? Well, as the two sad people wander on, someone comes alongside them. "You look sad and confused," he says. "What are you talking about?" "Well, we've come from Jerusalem, and we've come from this empty tomb. And we're a bit confused. We're not sure what's going on. It's made us a bit sad, and we don't know what to do." I wonder, can you empathise with that this morning? Does the Easter story maybe leave you feeling a bit confused? We had known it was wonderful Jesus, but look what happens. They call him Jesus of Nazareth. Human Jesus, limited Jesus. They'd hoped he was something more, that he was Redeemer and Saviour, but what had they seen? They'd seen him executed, buried, done away with. They were confused. Before they could see or hear or understand, they felt confused, sad, doubting. Anna, are you up for holding something at the front for me? Is that all right? This is my road to Emmaus. And if you hold that top sheet, the rest should fall underneath. So just hold that one and let it drop. What have we got? Excellent, excellent. Can you hold it up high? Brilliant. Confused, doubt, sad, bad news, kept from recognizing Jesus of Nazareth. That's where they are at the moment. So hold that just for a moment. Thank you. And Jesus says to them, "How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Sorry, I don't know. I don't want your arms to fall off. So shall I take that away again? Thank you. Have a seat and maybe come back and help me with the next one in a bit. Jesus said, "I had to suffer and die. The Messiah had to suffer and enter his glory." Now, can we see what that is? It's an aeroplane. One day we'll be allowed to go on those and go back on holiday again. But sometimes we think about being in a plane as an illustration, a picture of the Christian life. We go with Jesus. Wherever he goes, we go with him. And the thing is, you can admire a plane. You can walk around the plane. You can know lots about planes. But to get where the plane is going, you need to get into the plane. And to be a Christian, you need to put your trust in Jesus and live for him. It has to make a difference. It's no good knowing about Jesus, admiring Jesus, walking around Jesus. We need to trust in him. But Jesus had to go first. He had to go through death and enter glory so he could take us with him safely, and we wouldn't have to face what he had faced in our place. Jesus said, I die as a ransom, a price paid, to pay the price for your sin, for your rebellions, your mistakes, your failings, to deal with all of that. Jesus offers his death in our place so that we can receive his life. And to fulfill justice, he had to go through death and hell himself. He had to suffer and then enter his glory so that we, trusting in him, could go with him there. So then we come to the burning heart. That feeling, do you know, get that feeling when you have a burning heart, when you feel really excited? Maybe you felt that this morning. We had Easter eggs on the table. We never have chocolate on the breakfast table. That's so exciting. Heart burned within me. Maybe you get excited at something, passionate about something. Maybe it's when you've seen something important that you've never seen before, or something like that. Well, later on, those two people walking along, they say their hearts burned inside them as they heard Jesus teach. He was teaching from the Old Testament, the scriptures. And let's come back to this. He said to them, how foolish you are, slow of heart. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You see, Jesus is in all the Bible. And we can read this in all the Bible for ourselves. Jesus wants people to understand properly about him. Did you know the whole Bible is about Jesus? The Old Testament shows us why Jesus had to come into the world, and the New Testament tells us what happened when he came and how this changed the world. So it's well worth getting into the Bible and asking God to help us by his Spirit to understand it. Show us more about him, about Jesus, and about ourselves. Here are some verses from the Old Testament. Genesis 3 talking about the serpent and the serpent crusher. Deuteronomy talking about the words of the mouth of the prophets speaking of Jesus. A promise in 2 Samuel 7 of a king to come. Micah saying this king will come to Bethlehem. In Genesis again, talking about this king having a scepter and ruling over the world. Isaiah we know very well from the Christmas story, the wonderful counselor. Isaiah again saying when Jesus comes, the lame will leap like deer. Zechariah talking about the donkey in Palm Sunday. Isaiah 53, that famous bit, talking about how the one would suffer and die in our place and take our sins. So many verses all the way through the Old Testament talking about Jesus. Psalm 22, which we thought about on Good Friday. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus being punished in our place so that we can know true life in him. Let's finish with this one. In Isaiah again, it is too small a thing for you to bring back those of Israel I've kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Jesus is not just a king for a small group of people. He's a king for anyone and everyone who will turn and trust in him. And as we read the Bible and see Jesus, then we take God seriously as who he says he is and not just who we say he is. And then our hearts burn within us. Is that your priority? And is that your expectation? To see Jesus in the Bible, when you read it at church, or when you read it at home, and have your hearts burn within you. And then Jesus revealed himself further through the breaking of the bread, and they saw who he was, and they get up and start running back to Jerusalem. Jesus wants us to understand about him. Jesus wants us to know he's alive, and this can transform our lives. So they went from being sad to being happy. They were going from Emmaus and then back to Jerusalem. They spoke of Jesus of Nazareth, the human, and then they spoke of Jesus, the Christ, the promised one of God. They were confused, and then they had understanding. They were kept from seeing, and then they recognized Jesus. Anna, you ready for one more? Is that all right? Sorry, good exercise for your arms. So same thing again, hold that one up high, and then the rest should drop below it. So down to Jerusalem, understanding faith, happy joy, good news, recognize Jesus the Christ. So that was what happened before, and that's what happened after. An amazing transformation in their lives. having understood, having seen Jesus and understood that he'd come to die for them. Thanks, Anna. Brilliant. They hurried happily back to Jerusalem, the scene of the resurrection, to tell the other disciples. We see a complete transformation and a change from their sad walk away from the place of betrayal and death. So is that your experience of Easter? Jesus is alive. The promised Christ come to offer you hope. Do you understand you need the rescue he offers, the death he dies in your place? Do you believe it? Do you have an ongoing expectation of meeting our God in his promises, his revelation of himself, in his word, in the Bible? And are you transformed, ready to change your life and go where Jesus goes? Because this is not just hope that you can bury within yourself. It transforms us and makes us want to have a priority for God and his people, Sundays on church and during the week. A priority for God and his word, Sundays at church with each other and during the week. An expectation of what happens when God's word is opened on any day, wherever, and especially with others. Burning hearts, hearing the voice of God, speaking to you about his son, his love and purpose for you, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. These are transformations. Finally, an overflowing heart. A new start like this, like those two dashing back to Jerusalem, meant they were desperate to share the good news with others. Have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? And that could be the impact on us too. Easter good news, being Easter people, ready to share it with others. Jesus wants people to understand about him. Do you want others to understand about him? Jesus wants people to know that he's alive. Do you want others to know he's alive? Jesus wants people to be transformed. Are you? And can you pray this and believe it for others? Will your heart burn with passion and then overflow with love this Easter and beyond? Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for the wonderful, true Easter story. Help us take time again to pause and think on what it means. Why Jesus had to suffer and die in our place. And why in his resurrection there is great joy and great hope. Help us to understand. Help us to believe. Help us to turn to you and receive your love again. Amen.